In a world of EMS podcasters, EMS Office Hours is the only live podcast bringing you the latest topics and opinions in EMS. Turn down your scanner and turn up your speakers as we join Jim Hoffman and Josh Knapp on their latest EMS podcasting journey.
Hey everybody, it's Jim Hoffman for EMS Office Hours.
Joined by Josh Knapp.
Josh, thank you for popping in, as always.
Well, it's a little bit more sort of pre-scheduled than popping in, I'd say.
Yeah.
You know. Well, I think we planned this, like, last week.
Yeah. Well, the end of every show, you should be putting it on your calendar for the next week.
I think that'd be a good thing if most of our listeners did that. I think some of them actually do, man.
I think some do, yeah. I actually have something I wanted to mention.
I have no freaking clue. I mean, you know, certainly not that interesting to listen to. I know.
I'm boring.
All I do is jabber.
Well, I'll tell you, I was looking at, you know, this month actually is going to be 5 years that EMS Office Hours has been on Blog Talk Radio, and actually in the beginning it was just, you know, just sort of like an off-the-cuff type thing, and then it was Authorized Transmissions was the name I was going with when I was doing it for a little while there, and then eventually changed the name permanently to EMS Office Hours, and actually we've had, looking at the stats, since the show started, you know, 5 years ago on Blog Talk Radio and on the blog.
5 years ago when it was just you yelling at your computer.
Yelling at my computer. Well, my first guest actually was Brian Bledsoe, who was my first guest on the show.
Remember. Yep. Good show.
You know, I started doing just sort of one-on-one interviews with some of these folks, you know. I did one with him and Keith Dr. Wesley. I did one with the director from National Registry. I did one as well. But looking at the stats from that starting point, we've had over 130,000 listens to the show. So between Blog Talk Radio, the blog, ProMed Network, so we've got over 130,000 people that have listened to the show.
That know you. In some shape or form.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wonder how many are return listeners and whatnot. So that's pretty. I think it's pretty cool to have that many people, you know, on board with us. I think Bob or maybe even Dave is in line.
Cool.
Hi, who's with us? Is Bob?
It's Dave, how you doing?
Dave, all right, Dave, how you doing?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Josh, how are you?
Yeah, so I'd say hi to John in the chat room and Joe as well. Joe, I don't say your last name because I don't want to mess it up. So when I say Joe, I mean Joe, the guy that I can't say his last name.
I was looking at it as Joe Pa, but we don't want to bring that name up.
I'm just looking at it. So just,
we were on one. He called in and he actually told us how to pronounce it, and then I went directly to messing it up right then and there. Pachowski.
I have to try.
Thanks, Joe.
I should probably copy and paste that somewhere so I can pull it up for my show notes that I pull up every week.
You know, I think we should do this just to get him to call in so he can – you know, we can hear his voice and he can say his name.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he's going to do it otherwise. I think he's just going to hang out in the shadows, make comments from the, you know, from the back.
Well, he calls in, you know, he calls in frequently enough, I guess. Well, listen, Josh, tonight is one of those nights where I try to do a little bit of everything.
Well, you're a paramedic, Jim, so.
I know.
You know,
well,
multi-talented
and
right.
Working my magic, you know. But one of the couple of topics, I know I sent you them an email, and I think might be the topic we can probably talk about first, I guess, and just sort of get it out of the way, because I can't see spending a lot of time on this one, but I don't know, I'm sure you've seen, and Dave, probably you too, the little thing going on about the paramedic that was punished for giving a blanket away to a person from that was in a fire or something, and then he gave him a blanket, and apparently he's being punished for doing that. And I mean, you look at the fallout from that, and of course, there's no one that's going to take the supervisor's side that is punishing him for giving the blanket away. I was searching a little bit today. I don't know if either of you guys looked any further into it or not, but I was looking a little, trying to find like another part of the story, something that's not being said as to why. It doesn't seem like the common sense thing to do would be to punish somebody for doing that, right? I mean, it's almost, he did what anybody would do in that situation. So I'm just finding it a little confusing that there's not more to the story someplace, unless that's all there is to the story, and that the supervisor sort of had an axe to grind or something, you know? So I'm having a hard time understanding how this is, really it as far as the story goes.
You know, I shared that story. I was actually asked by one of the Facebook sites, Nocturnal Medic. I happen to know the guy, and he asked a number of people to share this. He got the email from he actually got the email from a friend, and says he knows the people that were involved. And that's why I went with it. But normally, I don't like to run with these things because sometimes they're just, people trying to get that viral thing going, and they make up, a fantastic story. But I don't really have much more to go on it than what you've seen.
Yeah.
I saw when it came out, and did you guys see the video that the Detroit News placed it?
Yeah. Yeah,
and you watch the video, and I swear I thought it was some type of April Fool's joke, the way the reporter is. But then I went back and watched some stuff. Apparently, that reporter does a lot of stuff with Detroit Fire and Detroit EMS and some of the problems they had. But I was just in amazement because you did what any other, not only human would do, but certainly, I was always told the blankets were for the patients.
Yeah.
And then picture of the blanket being used as a drop cloth. And again, it was almost too comical to be true, but, you see it spread around, and maybe it is just something that's gone viral, but like you said, there's been no retort or any question or any response from the fire department other than a brief statement, I believe it was from the EMS chief out there, saying that, they're not authorized to give away departmental equipment.
Right.
Blankets are departmental equipment, but...
Yeah, but that sort of goes contrary to, just about every municipality EMS that I've ever known or heard of. There's an aspect of community relations and social responsibility that they look at EMS to sort of sometimes pick up the slack on. And so it's that type of behavior is rarely discouraged, if not encouraged.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, I saw some comments on various posts and the article pages and stuff that people are saying I would get in trouble for not giving the guy a blanket. So I just like I said, I would have loved to have found something that was more of a backstory than pretty much what has already been seen. I guess it's just I was just a little amazed that they didn't come out, that the official statement wasn't more, telling more than what the story actually was. It's just, I don't know, is it that bad, And at the same time, I start wondering too, aren't there more important things for, any EMS agency to be concerned about, other than a blanket? Especially Detroit. I've heard things about Detroit that they're having big issues there with responses and retaining providers and trucks breaking down and things like that. And they're going to start penalizing people and focusing on things like blankets. Then that might be the reason why everything else is falling apart. It might just be a big, a real big sort of flag to sort of explain why everything else is getting screwed up.
Well, that's
what their focus is on, your blankets.
The email that I got, and it was a request in, and I'll basically I'll read part of this, is I'm a friend with Eric as this page admin and Michigan-born. And it really pisses me off to see this happen. And then he cuts and pastes in this email from Eric Liddy from Detroit. And it says, would your administration suspend you if you handed out a blanket to a freezing elderly disabled man that just lost his house to a fire? Well, Jeff was suspended. I'm asking everyone, scrounge up an old hospital blanket or an old wool blanket, write not city property on it in bold block letters and send it in care of Chief Gerald James of the City of Detroit Fire Department, EMS Division, and then gives an address. Please include a note describing your distaste for his actions, his actions and him driving what was at one time a great EMS system that has been reduced to a third world zone. Now, there's a bunch of stuff coming out of the Detroit EMS system that we've actually talked about. And then he signs it, Eric Liddy, Detroit EMS, retired. And then he puts that page for the about the article about the Detroit paramedic being punished.
Yeah. I saw that too. There's like something happening there as well, where they're encouraging people to mail blankets into a certain address, like by one day or something like that. I don't have the post right in front of me where that is, but it's on the same page as where the primary article is at. And I think that's going from what you said, Josh, the email and the address as far as mailing the blankets into that one address. So, I don't want to go round and round with this topic, but to me, it just seems like, you know, there should be more to this story, you know, and I don't know, a more plausible response from the officials, you know, but the fact that there isn't, and to me, it's sort of like a signal that it's just sort of a symptom of the way everything is being run there and
how broken it is.
Right, exactly.
So you're saying that not hearing anything, like if it was a functioning system and things were going the way, you know, that if things were being administrated, that if this was BS, they'd respond and say, hey, guys, this story is overblown.
I would imagine, sure. I mean, I would imagine somebody would, especially since it's picked up so much traction. I mean, you pretty much can, it's on the major EMS website. It's on just about every Facebook social media page. It's been tweeted out. It's on the news site where it originated from. So for them to just sort of be silent and not say anything, you know, because to me it's like, you know what, they can come back and say, well, yeah, this guy is being punished, but it's not for the blanket. It's for, you know, years of blatant disregard for, you know, department equipment. And this is just one small instance, and now he's being, you know, punished for it. But reading some of the things even regarding that, where even I read one thing where this guy's, one of this guy's partners, where this one medic is actually pretty giving, where he's actually went out and bought stuff for patients, like bought diapers. I read one thing where he bought diapers for patients, you know, mothers who couldn't afford it, you know what I mean? So this seems like a type of guy who's really, you know, not a screw up, you know?
Right.
So
right.
It's just a little, you know, confusing to me. But, you know, like I said, it's just one of those things that just, I was just wondering, you know, if, you know, anybody else had heard anything
in addition to it. You know, I sort of go with what you're saying, Jim, is like almost guilt by silence here. And, you know, and maybe that's an assumption, but you're right. You know, if it's wrong, then speak up. But isn't that a wonderful part of this whole social media thing, that when something breaks out that way, you can get it out there? And, you know, I mean, think of it. 5-6 years ago, a thing like this happened, you might find out about it a few months later or
right.
a year later as a story.
True. Well, it's funny, you know, in talking about social media is sort of like on the, sort of along the, exactly the same line as the next thing I want to talk about was this thing where this flight medic had said something about, went on a rant and had said that they wanted to slap their patient. The patient was uncooperative, was being dangerous, was a danger to them in the helicopter. And she had said she had wanted to slap the patient. Apparently she was fired, you know, went to court, and they took the side of the agency for her saying that on Facebook, you know. Now,
I've heard there's been a couple of lawsuits about basically what you say in social media is not necessarily protected by freedom of speech.
Yeah, here's my thing with this. At first, yeah, I was like, oh my God, this is ridiculous. You know, I mean, listen, I don't think she was serious when she said that. I mean, how many times anybody out there pretty much at one time or another has gotten frustrated and said, oh, I want to strangle this guy. He was being such a jerk, or I want to smack this person, or whatever the case is, because they're either being uncooperative or they're being, you know, confrontational to you and things. Of course, we don't do it, right? You might say it, and you say it in the privacy with your partner or whatever. You know, she happened to do it sort of on a rant on Facebook, but she didn't actually do it. You know, she didn't actually carry it out. I'm reading a lot of the commentary on that, and people are like, oh, you know, she shouldn't have been fired for it. Maybe disciplined, maybe given a warning. Something along those lines, but not fired for it. But one person had made a good point on that when it comes to, you know, professionalism in EMS and how other people that might be seeing that commentary on her page might, you know, it really reflects on the professionalism of EMS and on her and her department. If they know that she, you know, where she works and who she's working for, you know.
Well, you know, whenever you're hired at an organization, you're always given that spiel, and it's not a spiel because it's true that you're a representative of that organization. You put on a uniform, and it has a patch that associates you. You know, you've got to sort of watch the way you behave in public because you are, you know, you're a speaker for that organization, whether you want to be or not, you know?
Yeah. But what do you guys think as far as, I mean, you know, at some point, listen, you know, I don't think that people should be getting in trouble for things they say on Facebook if it's not identifying, you know, if it's not identifying a patient or identifying an agency.
But I guess the thing you look at is, you know, I remember the first one I remember hearing about was the cartoon that was posted. You know,
yeah.
I believe it was out of one of the Carolinas, South Carolina. And, you know, they tied it to this place. You know, it never stated the name, but it stated a hospital. It gave the rate to the doctor, you know, and they kind of put two and two together. And it's the changing times that we live in now where, you know, I mean, cell phone cameras weren't around 10 years ago, and now we're seeing, you know, videos show up on the internet of a cop or an EMT, paramedic, whoever, you know, doing something that, you know, was necessary, but it raises eyebrows. You know, and the same with this. What if this was the only medic's flight of the day and the family happened to see this somehow or a friend of the family? I believe what happened with this one was it was the some high-up sister that saw this in the company that this paramedic worked for. And, you know, reported it to that person and said, hey, you know, what's going on with your paramedics, basically? And, yeah, it's a sign of the times. And, you know, I agree, you know, we all have stressful days and you want to have an outlet. And you used to maybe have that outlet. But now with, you know, these posts, you know, you link Facebook to one thing. You know, I just upgraded my iPhone software a couple weeks ago. And my contacts went from, you know, the 100 people I actually know to every Facebook contact in the world that I have.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that great?
Know.
Not.
You know, and it's ridiculous. And it works the same with these news articles. If you look below any of these major newspapers now, they're linked to Facebook. And just because you post something and somebody doesn't, you know you, they might wind up seeing it. I think that's one of the things that we've been able to do is look through and find all this information.
Dave, I think one of the things that you point out is that, you know, you want a chance to vent, you want a chance to sort of bitch among your peers, but, you know, with these, you know, in those days, what you do is if you were after work, you might go to a local watering hole, or if it's during work, you might be, you know, on the deck somewhere, you know, or in the ambulance bay, or, you know, even in the ED, which Jim and I have talked about bitching in the ED. That's not a great thing. But, you know, that is, you're pretty much talking face-to-face with somebody, and you're not, where it goes in the air is the best it's going to be is overheard. And if it's overheard by the wrong person, even then you could get in trouble. But now it's like, you know, where it used to be that the only way that you could get sued for something is if it was published. Now you're automatically self-publishing when you put stuff on, you know, these social networks. And, you know, if you have your security set, so, you know, your posts are viewed by friends are enough. I mean, how many friends do we actually have versus what we have on Facebook? But, you know, if you have your security set to friends of friends, you're talking about, you know, tens to hundreds of thousands of people that could potentially see a post you do.
Yeah, and it's also not, you know, not just what you type, it's what you pictures of and post on the internet. You know,
absolutely.
I have a friend of mine who I used to work with, you know, 15 years ago, and he's been retired from EMS now for a while, and he's posting pictures from back in the day, and I'm like seeing some of these pictures, I'm like, oh my God, if we did this stuff now and it got posted, you would be fired in a heartbeat. Yeah, and I think it is, it's just the evolving evolution, you know, whatever word you want to use, of the social networks and what's out there, and they are a benefit. I mean, I think they're, I'm on, I don't want to say every single one, but, you know, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and they all are beneficial to a certain extent, depending on what you post. And once it's posted, it's there.
Yeah, but I think, I don't know, to me, I think if you're just sort of venting about something that you experienced, you know, to other people that are in the same sort of, you know, profession as you, if you're not mentioning or naming an organization by name or location of patients or specifics about a patient, you know, it's I don't see why that it should be an issue for an agency to look at that and start getting worried that you're making some type of violation against them.
Well, I mean, you know, one, you're dealing with hurt feelings, and the other, you're dealing with patient information.
You say hurt feelings, too. I was, you know, looking at the article, too. It seems like that commentary with her talking about being frustrated and smacking the patient, slapping the patient and all that seemed to have started in a private chat with one of her supervisors that sort of got a little heated. And then she ended up making a post, like a general post about it on her Facebook wall. And I think that is when it sort of started getting a little out of control. Because it, I think at that point, I think what happened was that she was posting things, you know, not necessarily 100% related to sort of this generic frustration she had about, you know, occasionally wanting to slap a patient because, you know, they won't hold still in the back of a helicopter, which, I mean, can be scary. You know, you're in the back, you're in a tight quarters, you got somebody who won't hold still, that they're, you know, getting agitated, they're, you know, moving around and things, and I guess that can be scary for the crew, you know, that danger is there. But I think what ended up happening was that it sort of was getting to the point where it was sort of against the supervisor. You know what I mean? So then that's, I think, is when the agency itself sort of comes into play now, because now it's obvious that it's not just about this generic complaint about wanting to slap this patient that was unruly. It's also about the supervisor's take on it and, you know, what they're saying regarding the incident. So that's where I think the agencies ended up coming into play on that, you know. But I think at the same time, like I said, nowadays you can say things on Facebook and on these other sites too. Like you said, Dave, also, it doesn't have to even be about a patient that you had. It could be a picture that they feel is maybe distasteful, that had nothing to do with the agency or anything, or a patient that you might have had. It could be just something that seems, that they feel distasteful. It's not in good humor,
As long as you're locking yourself, as long as you're linking yourself to an organization, and there's a lot of information that goes up on Facebook, in terms of like where you work, who, what you do as a profession, where you are. If depending on what your settings are, you could have every post mapped to, what you call it. What is it? A location,
Geographical location. Yeah.
Right,
Right.
exactly. So, if you say, "Oh, I got this guy who was, just picking up another drunk," and it gives a street address where you're at, now you're at a HIPAA violation, even though you purposely didn't mention, the person and such. You're now giving some identifiable information.
Yeah.
You know, so it's tricky for sure. There's no doubt about it. And I think that the fact that, we are adapting and expanding our social networks, in terms of, who we know, who we reach out to. I mean, Jim, you've known people, for a long time because of your company. I've known folks from around the country as well because of my company, but I think those relationships have certainly gotten more defined, I would say, with people that I now keep in touch with on a regular basis that, a few years ago I would have never even known they existed.
Yeah. You know what? I think I have a caller online here. Let me see who this is. Maybe get another point of view on it as well. Hi, caller. Who's this?
Hey, it's Walter Disturb.
Hey, Walter. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. All right.
I caught the note online and said, let me call in. I have 5 minutes to myself.
Sure. Why not?
How
Why
are you?
not? All right. Any comments on this whole slapping the patient, firing thing?
You know what? I just joined 2 minutes ago. I called you in between conversation. I'm not sure what the topic of the conversation is.
Oh, I don't know if you saw, Walter, we talk about the flight medic that got fired because she had mentioned something on her Facebook page about, having this desire to slap a patient that was unruly, and her supervisor got wind of it, and they kind of went back and forth, and then she ended up getting fired, ended up going to court, and the judge favored in the company's side that the fire was a just firing. So I guess the question to you is, Walter, is what's your take on that? I mean, you're sort of in the management end of things. So what would be your take if you had an employee that was making those type of comments, not identifying the agency or anything like that or the patient, but just making general comments like that?
Sure. Was it in New York?
No, I'm not sure where this was. It
Okay,
wasn't in New
so
York, though.
just anywhere. Well,
Yeah.
I mean, two things that we have been, we know as paramedics, and then we know as managers, we teach our, or we really tell our employees to never ever cross over, from the real life, actually taking care of patients to the social media, and referring to any kind of call that is identifiable or in any way can compromise, patient care, patient, HIPAA, or passing judgment. One thing that we should be doing is practicing medicine without judgment. We all get frustrated, all say things that are inappropriate. I think that firing a person on the first offense is not, a good precedence. The simple fact is that, we should be living in an environment where we are allowed to make mistakes and that we can learn from our mistakes and move on. To take in step that, a person saying that they feel like slapping somebody and actually, of course, did not, without identifying the patient, I would assume online, I think it's a step too far. We should live in a just culture, not a punitive culture.
Well said. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have a point there, and that was something I mentioned earlier on when we came across this topic, is that when you have something like that, if it's not something that's recurring, you get the same person making the same type of comments over and over again, and they're told, listen, you know, you really can't be saying these types of things. If somebody finds out, the wrong person sees it, it can make us look bad, mm-hmm. you know. But it seems like that didn't happen. I mean, listen, and I mentioned this earlier too, a lot of us get frustrated. We sort of say these types of things to each other in the front of the ambulance, and you kind of, it's just sort of a way to vent some frustrations you might have with
a
patient,
mechanism.
A doctor, a nurse.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's so to just take that one instance and then fire somebody, you know, is when I think you start having the issues. Like,
now, Jim, do you know for a fact that this was a one-issue type of situation?
From what I read on it, it seems like it's a one-issue, but at the same time, it also seemed that there was some type of ongoing thing with this person that said something with other issues, sort of like a person. And we talked about this before, Josh, of personality conflicts with management and personality conflicts. We talked about this last week, and you know, with your employer, with your coworkers. The type of thing where they're looking, you know, that spotlight is on you. We mentioned that Eye of Mordor being on
yeah,
you.
Right.
And I think that seems to, this is sort of like a catalyst to, fire this person based on, I guess, other things that were going on.
Well,
the
I
straw
think
that broke
all,
the camel's. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, it might be the straw that broke the camel's back. But what I was thinking of, Walter, is what you were saying before, is that you know we should be in a system that is more just and less responsive to management by punishment, and I think that unfortunately a lot of the systems that I've heard about are where, you know, you get people that get up into management that maybe don't necessarily have the skill sets to be able to manage that way. And so they tend to fall back on, you know, there's something that's wrong, I need to correct that action, I'm going to respond in a certain way.
Reactive. It's reactive management, and that's usually done because of poor management skills or lack of education. I've managed in the emergency services side for many years. Now I'm obviously in the hospital side. I get to see both sides of the equation, and both from a nurse perspective, doctor perspective, and then so other staff perspective. And I'm now the one that has to monitor and make sure that my employees are doing the right things, and you make the right judgment calls. I always say this. That honesty pays off. IHI, the Institute of Healthcare, has put a challenge forth many years ago about saving 100,000 lives, concentrated around preventing infections inside the hospitals. You know, the worst place to be is inside the hospital. But also, the focus really has shifted from, yes, they're still keeping an eye on infection, but they're really talking about, to err is human, and that's one thing is, you tell me the last time that you had a some kind of conversation in EMS that an error occurred on a call that was then openly discussed, and so the same mistake would not be made again. I have never seen a single environment, even though they can say that you have a just culture, that people feel comfortable coming forth saying, listen, I gave 80 of Lasix rather than 40 of Lasix, or I gave morphine rather than Valium. Or I gave whatever may be the case. It is just not in the culture that is in existence today that people feel comfortable to do that. And that's across the board. And go back to the flight nurse or the flight medic who got fired. There might have been other issues, that we will never become aware of that you have to take into account. But there's always three sides of the story. We only get to read here two sides of it, right?
Yeah, that's true, though. And like you said, we talked about this a little bit last week, Walter. We talked about that culture of you make a mistake and there's not a lot of forgiving going on. It's right away you're being judged. There's no open discussion on those types of things, to sort of not just address the mistake or whatever. And like you said, maybe it's something to do with a drug, maybe it's something to do like with this this comment that was made.
Yeah.
You know, but instead of addressing it, it right away it's a punitive sort of response to it.
It's a reactive response.
Yeah. There's no open discussion about it. There's nothing that sort of addresses it so that in the future it doesn't happen again. Because now you just sort of, what's going to happen, people feel like, okay, well, if I can make a mistake, I'm going to get fired. And I think this is part of the reason why there isn't an open discussion, because people don't want to lose their jobs. They don't want to be, you know, be suspended for days without pay or even have sort of that stigma attached to them that wherever they go, oh, you're the one that got fired for making inappropriate comments on Facebook, or you're the one that got fired because you gave, Valium instead of morphine. You know what I mean? So I think that's why we have that issue, you know, when it comes to that.
I mean, it goes across the full spectrum. I can see it in our effort to set up the Hudson Valley Paramedic Association is that, you know, we have lots of people are talking about it, lots of people, but when it comes down to actually putting in a face, and come to the meetings or be verbal about it or volunteer to take on a responsibility and complete it, people are very, very hesitant of what their employer will think of them joining an association, even though we make it crystal clear up front that this is not about unionization. This is about, professionalism, education,
right,
furthering the cause and developing lateral opportunities. Again, it's, the management of fear, so to speak, that needs to be broken. And again, that's one thing that our association in time maybe can do. Maybe we can go out and lobby for just culture and a change of environment and maybe education across the board so people have a better understanding what how we really can learn from our mistakes and have better outcomes on the back end.
Well, sure. I don't think this argument or this comment is new. I think that it is discussed. They've been, at the EMS conferences, they talk about the new culture of management. And within, pockets of groups, they talk about management. But I don't think that there's anything unifying EMS across the board that says, we need to be more enlightened in how we manage our individuals. Because I think that there's still this aspect of, get a warm body in the seat. Let's not really worry about the details after that.
Mm-hmm. But it is it is good to talk about. The conversation has to start somewhere before it can be transferred into real actionable items and operational level. We are a young profession, and I hope in time that this will change. And I'd like to be in the leading edge of a wing, not in the trailing edge of the wing. And I think all too often, we are on the trailing edge. We catch up with others. That should be the other way around. Why can we establish a just culture throughout all of the organizations that we can have a proactive quality assurance program in place where people feel comfortable coming forth and asking questions about calls that is completed or instead of just, I can only imagine how many bad mistakes are being covered up by creative documentation.
Yeah. And that's I've talked about that before. I mean, even not necessarily on the show here, but I talked about that with some coworkers about how.
Well, we've talked about it on the show, and it's a continuous. It's sort of a continuous thread of conversation
where people will adjust, like you said, Walter. They'll have people in the EMS end up being very good at creative writing because they don't want to admit a mistake, and it could be something simple as I couldn't get an IV on this patient. Admitting that type of thing to a drug error, or something like that.
Sending somebody in BLS versus ALS.
Sure, right. Exactly.
Saying that they only made, they got the IV in two attempts rather than the five attempts it really took.
Exactly.
I mean, there's so many different facets. But then again, I don't feel like many people really care. They barely even treat the PCR as a piece of legal documentation.
Right. Right, and I think that's a real big issue that that's a sort of the uphill battle for us to deal with is, are we doing something that is a part of the patient care a chain of custody of patient care. And mm-hmm. I think that a lot of times, you know, it's really viewed whatever happens before the patient gets to the hospital is, you know, really not that consequential, whether they arrive by ambulance or they arrive by taxi, because it's not viewed that much different. The real care starts is after they enter the hospital doors. And I think that's partially due to a sense of where the statistics start and are collected, mm-hmm. and then also where the real billing starts and is collected.
Sadly to say, is that I think you're missing out. You're missing on one point, is that it's, you know, the reason why the focus has not been on the pre-hospital portion is because our wallets are not as thick as the hospitals or the doctors, and we have not been sued enough over the care provided in the pre-hospital field that enough people care. If we would have a couple of, you know, unfortunate outcomes that were preventable or contributed to somebody's death, and it was, you know, a true documentation and investigation brought to the court of law, and somebody was sued and lost several million dollars, you know, trust me, things change rapidly. So, hold on a second. Okay, go ahead, Todd.
Yeah, it's as our real lives always. As our real lives always come into our public lives.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is. I think, listen, Walt, I think you make good points on it. You know, it's just something that I think everybody needs to be conscious of when they're out there making comments on Facebook, when they're making certain tweets and things like that. I try to be careful, and there are times that I've actually posted things where I actually went back and looked later and said, well, maybe somebody might be able to figure out what I'm talking about or who I'm talking about, you know. I mean, I don't mention names and places and things like that, and I often will change days, or I'll change, you know, the sex or the age or the exact details of a call, you know, but I'm doing it in a way, but I'm not really complaining about it. I'm doing it in a way as to sort of try to educate people on, you know, what they can look for on calls and what they can do in the same situation. You know, the only thing I will say in closing for this little segment here is that, you know, they fired her for being unprofessional, and that talking about how it's an unprofessional view on the agency, but yet the supervisor was taking part in this whole back and forth. And, you know, to me, that's being just as unprofessional as the employee if she's taking part of this back and forth on Facebook as well.
Agreed,
you know,
100%.
I mean? And there was no sort of repercussions against the supervisor from what I can tell from the articles that I read. So, you know, to me, it is like, you know, it's like if you're going to punish the employee for making these types of comments, at some point the supervisor should have came out and said to her, listen, you cannot be saying these things on Facebook. You're going to get in trouble. But instead, she just let us sort of, you know, take that rope and run with it, and ended up hanging herself in the, you know, in the process, instead of, you know, being a supervisor, being a professional manager, and stepping in and either not taking part in the conversation or letting her know right away that this is unacceptable and it's not the type of thing you should be putting in a social media platform. So, well, Walt, thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. I enjoyed your comment. You're free every Sunday, of course. You know, you're free to call in. So
is it 7 o'clock every Sunday night?
Every Sunday, 7 p.m.
7 yep. p.m., okay.
No matter who's playing football.
Well, my task is giving the kids a bath and cream them up before they and get them ready to bed. And if there's time left over, then I gladly will call in. Hey, sure. Jim, maybe you can post that that case on the Facebook page. I'll see if there's any feedback from people.
Sure.
And see what people, you know, what is generally said about it.
Yeah, put
good topic of conversation. Hey, it was nice joining you guys. I'll look forward to doing it again in the future.
All
thanks,
right,
Walt. It's good talking to you.
Okay, have a good night. Look forward to meeting you face to face sometime.
Soon, hopefully.
Look at your calendar, November 5th. We brought, you know, it's coming a little closer to the Orange County line.
But I can't drive too. If I drive too far out of where I am, I can get, you know, I go through a time warp or something. That's so hard.
He turns into a pumpkin.
Well, Malcolm Dean, I'm not sure if you know him or not. He is, over the winter months, is going to go up to Olson, Dutchess County, and do you know, meet and greet meetings up there. So hopefully you can be actively involved in that. And and then if I have time and my wife allows me, maybe I'll travel north myself.
All right.
Have a good night. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Yeah, guys, Walter is actually the he's the president of the Hudson Valley Paramedic Association here in New York, if anyone was interested in what he's talking about. I'll put a link to that website. It's basically just it's a site that and an organization that's on Facebook, and they have a web page that is for Hudson Valley paramedics and paramedic students in a way to sort of the profession. It's a profession, the salary protocols and all that. So, you know, good. I'm involved with that. So anyone have any questions, you can send it to me directly, and I'll, you know, get you an answer if you're interested in any of that stuff. So, so listen, Josh, as always, we start running out of time.
Yeah.
So I think what I'd like to do, cause I know I have two more topics here, but I think the one I think that we could probably end with that would be kind of fun to talk about is – and I know we've talked about this before as well, is this whole thing with now these fire and EMS television shows.
Oh, Lord.
I know.
You know what?
We had trauma, right? We had trauma. It was on. Everyone jumped all over it. They were upset. It wasn't realistic.
And I did not. I got to confess here. You know, I was so – well, I'm an EMS snob. I'll admittedly say it right here and right now. You know, I know a lot of folks are fire EMS, and even some folks listen that are fire. But as soon as they said Chicago Fire, I sort of tuned out.
Well, I mean, my question, though, is, listen, that show came out. I already saw a lot of negative things about the show. That it's just like Trauma. It's the same type of format, you know, based more on the fire end of it.
Hey, that's good, man.
And then you've got this comedy show Dennis Miller's producing, Sirens, that's based on a British show that he's making a U.S. version of it. I think it's also going to be based on a city of Chicago system as well. And my question is. Good or bad on the these shows, right? Whether and I say good or bad, I mean good as far as how close they are to what really goes on, like, you know, with us, you know, and the treatment they're giving and things like that. Are they hurting or are they helping EMS, do you think? Or are there no change?
Well, you know my opinion. I mean, the folks here probably don't know my opinion, but my opinion is that, you know, it's almost the Hollywood saying, any publicity is good publicity. And, you know, to get EMS on the TV where people watch it and they get into their subconscious that there's this organization out there that has men and women who train to do a certain skill, even if it's totally blown out of proportion, is all right. And people went nuts over Trauma with, you know, some of this stuff. And I got to admit, you know, when I first watched it, I was like, you can't do that. They would never do that. And I was getting all heated and stuff like that. But, you know, my brother's a lawyer. And he says, do you think any of the trial shows, any of the legal shows that they
right.
have, anything like that happens in real life? I mean,
right,
you know,
exactly.
this is months to years of investigative work before something ever hits, and then it's, you know, months and days and weeks on a courtroom floor. So,
yeah.
You know, what we see is this nice compacted summation. So why is it so offensive when it's suddenly EMS?
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to catch the show. I mean, I felt like I was watching it. I know Josh Broyles there is in the chat room, and he was posting on Twitter, like, play-by-play of the show, which I thought was great. The West Coast audience got the show ruined, but that's a sign of Social Network Times, because all the posts were up there, and they hadn't seen the show yet. But I actually know one of the writers, one of the technical, you know, editors, writers that helps with that show, just from some connections, And, you know, he posted on there that they had certain aspects that they were trying to do that were true to what we do in the field, and the producers, you know, wouldn't do it because it didn't give the best shot. You know, a lot of things that were, you know, taken out of the show, at least for that episode that he was commenting on, that, you know, were originally scripted, but because it wouldn't make for good, as Josh said, Hollywood, you know, TV, it was cut. So, you know, I try not to watch them personally. I can think of a lot of better things that we could do with our time than watch that stuff. Because they do tend to be like, you know, oh, wait, they're doing that wrong or they're doing this wrong. You know, I watch House. I used to watch it religiously when I could, but that was just to see if I could beat them to the diagnosis before I told it at the end. Other than that, you know, yeah, most of them are pretty tough.
Well, it's the same thing like CSI and the murder mysteries. Wait, you got somebody to bring in?
I got John on hold there. I had him on hold when Walt popped on. I didn't want to – I keep forgetting he's sitting there. So, John, you still with us? I don't know. He might have hung up.
You know what? You know, we've got to get people that call in that have a little bit more patience. That's all I've got to say. No, I mean, not, you know, you put people on hold. If I'm on hold for the phone company, I mean, or the cable company, what happens, you know?
I know.
Do you, wait, Jim, do you have music playing?
No, I wish.
Oh, there's your problem.
I got to find out what they do in Blog Talk Radio when you're on hold. You know, I never figured that out. I don't think they play music.
I'll call in once. I'll sit on hold.
Figure that out.
It's probably that you just drop into a black hole, or you, you know, you're part of another.
John, sorry, I didn't get to you there, buddy.
He's not really sorry. You know, I think you should write him an angry letter, John.
Yeah, get in line, the rest of them.
Well, what do you think, Jim? I mean, you and I have had this conversation. You think it's positive?
I do. I personally think if you're not an EMS and you see those shows, I think that, you know, it can be a positive thing. And like you said, it sort of just shows the public a glimpse of what we do. Yeah, and like you said, with your brother being a lawyer, the people that see that, it's not what really is going on. It's not the reality of what a lawyer is being. And just like these shows, it's not a reality what a fireman's being or paramedic or EMT is. You know, but I think it does give us some exposure. You know, I think it gives us some type of exposure. So long as it's not one of these shows that puts you in a bad light. I mean, where, you know, the medics are drug addicts or something like that. You know what I mean? Like all the medics are hooked on the drugs they have in the ambulance, or you know what I mean? Then it starts to, you end up getting to that issue where it can't. It's not really putting us in the best of light.
I think
John's back with. Let me see if he's here. I don't know. I don't want to. We don't got like 10.
Go ahead. Go. Grab.
John, are you there or no? Interesting. John.
I don't hear
him. I think he's feeding you more.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's back in the queue, and then I hit it right away, and I can't get him. John, you know what? It might be a Blog Talk Radio thing. It might not be you. You might be getting booted from that. So sorry about that, John.
Is he saying anything in the chat room?
No, he's not.
Got back in queue. You hear me?
Yeah, I know. No, he's not.
There's
even
party for John.
Sorry, John.
The Nightwalker's on. Hey, man, how are you doing?
What's going on with that? Well, you know, listen, like I said, I think that the shows can have a positive, you know, thing for us. I think it can give us some sort of, you know, exposure. And I think the public's not totally oblivious either. I think that they realize that everything they're seeing is not real. Just like they realize when they look at these cop shows and these legal shows, they know that that's not what happens in the courtroom, you know, you know, I know that they really, it's to a point entertainment. I think that's what we have to look at it too. That is entertainment. That is,
you have to grow. Listen, we have a thick enough skin with what we deal with in the field, but we have to grow a little bit less sensitive to what we see on TV because,
sure.
You know, this whole thing is, think about CSI. Think about how that's changed you know, even verdicts that are done in the courtroom. You know, people want more evidence. They have this whole thing called the CSI effect, and municipalities are putting more money into this scientific investigation that goes on because they want this sort of evidence, this body of evidence. If they see, you know, somebody being saved in an ambulance, you know, maybe they'll actually think that we do something more than just apply diesel and drive them to the hospital.
Yeah, yeah. John, are you there now this time or not?
I hope so.
Ah, we hear him. He lives.
Yeah,
okay,
so I'm going down there.
Okay, must have been technical problems on my end. I, like I say, I have a whole list from the show I did Thursday on Chicago Fire. I mean, it's like, okay, little girl, I know that you're not really all that with it, and you've just been in a head-on collision, but can you turn your head this way, please?
Yeah,
like, your feet right out the window.
Yeah. Like you, like we said, though, it's like, you know, for us sitting at home watching that, it's like you want to, it's like, you know, you want to pull your hair out because you're seeing all this stuff that's would never be done. And it's totally inappropriate, you know what I mean? And but like
yeah,
Dave says, a lot of times they do things for the production, you know, value of it.
For
know?
Shock value.
Yeah.
In fact, I have, you know, one of my little things that I did last time I was mobilized, I did some writing. I actually have one, you know, a television-type script written. But I'll guarantee you right now, everything that was done in that script, because I know there was a diabetic emergency, that followed my system protocol to the letter. It's like, okay, I give you this much D50. Okay, are you with me? All right, let's get our ham sandwich. Sign this refusal.
Well, it's funny, you know, years ago when Third Watch was on, I was on Third Watch as an extra for a bunch of times on that show, and they used to do, and I used to watch what they were doing with the NYPD end of it, with the EMS end of it, and I found out firsthand that a lot of what they do, because of the fact, like Dave mentioned, they change things around because, and, you know, the reality of it is it's not exciting enough for TV, or it's not even condensed enough to put into an hour, 30-minute, you know, hour show. So they have to cut corners and do things that they might not get done in real life just for that reason.
And that's okay. You know, the part that sometimes made me bug out about that show and others is when they did things like put a non-rebreather on upside down, you know, or put, you know, a totally inappropriate device on. You know, I can understand, you know, where this person is normally intubated and they have a nasal cannula because they have lines to say, you know,
yeah.
I can get that for TV. But, you know, at least have some of the follow through to load the stretcher into the ambulance in front ways, you know?
Right.
I mean, little things.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'd say that one. Plus there was, a pericardial syncytiasis or a tamponade, excuse me, and a tension pneumo in the same episode.
That's great. Don't you have that? It's like every other day.
They gotta,
yeah.
Well,
they gotta
jam-pack
hour.
That stuff. They gotta pack it into the show. I mean, I guess because, you know, it's the premiere, you know, the pilot. They gotta try to get people hooked on it. So they try to squeeze as much as they can, I guess.
But you know what I thought was interesting is that there was a bunch of people saying, oh, yeah, pericardial syncytiasis, yeah, we're going to do that. And there's actually some systems out there that do it. So I thought that was kind of interesting because, you know, it just shows how fractured EMS is and how little we know of each other, you know, state to state of what we do.
Well,
right. Obviously,
and I have a couple friends up in Chicago, and they're like, what? The only thing we do is start a tension pneumo and give them diesel. Okay. And
yeah.
There were a few things I saw on the fire side because I did live on that side of the house for a little bit. It's like, okay, I do know that when you roll up on scene of a working fire, that first officer does need to walk around and see what they got.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean you don't call it from the inside of the cab because you've been there, done that a million times before?
No, I mean, you gotta, well, I don't know how Peoria does it, but I know that we've always been taught, do a walk around. Do your 360.
How many times have you seen the cop shows where the guy shoots out of a moving car and, you know, wings the guy so he drops his gun? I mean, you know, I can suspend belief for these shows. In fact, I'll do it.
Yeah, that's what I do. That's what I try to just suspend. I just try to, you know, go into it and you know, hope to see a little skin. That's all.
Well, yeah, of course, jumpsuits zip down to the belly button. Hey, that's
Thank
always
you.
Good.
Right. No, that's all I'm looking for. If I'm going to suspend belief, I'm going to suspend all my belief.
There we go. There we go.
I'm going to get to that point, you know. I'm going to be suspending it for that as well, you know.
I think in order to do this show, you have to suspend some belief there, Jim.
Yeah. All right, guys, listen, we're out of time. So I want to thank you guys for calling in. I appreciate it, Dave, John. I'm surprised. Sorry we didn't get to you sooner. I don't know what was going on with the connection there, but I'm glad we got you to get in there for a few minutes at least. So thanks for calling in, Dave.
Yep.
Appreciate it.
Take care, everybody. Be safe.
All righty.
Be safe, guys.
Everybody out there, too, I'll make sure I get your blogs and whatnot out onto the show notes as well. Walter, of course, I thank you for calling also. I'll make sure I get the Hudson Valley page up there so people can go take a look at it. Even if you're not in the Hudson Valley region, I think it's a good idea. Just go take a look at it because it can kind of show a little bit about how, you know, other agencies, other regions can kind of start their own sort of association like that and help them advance, you know, their paramedics in their area as well. So I appreciate that, Walt. I'll put that up there for you. So, Josh, thanks for joining me as well, and we'll see you next week.
Absolutely, Jim.
All right, everybody, that's it for tonight. Thanks for calling in again and being in the chat room. I really appreciate you joining the chat, Joe, and Nightwalker as well. Thanks for joining up in the chat room, keeping the conversation going there. Feel free to call in the future if you want as well. And of course, spread the word about the show, guys. The more people get here, the more opinions we get, the better. So that's it. Until next week, as always, Jim Hoffman, stay safe.